Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I got a great show today. We got one of my favorite people in the world. Like I said, this kid came to my show when I was in Kansas City, and he was a kid. He was like a young guy with like 37 grandparents and Cubans that showed up. They invaded my show. He was in the LFA. He told me his goal was to make it to the UFC, and I was like, great, man, good luck. And he's like, one day you're going to roast me. And I was like, who is this guy? It's like a really nice guy, just a nice guy. I had no idea he was going to be the superstar that he's become, getting fucking call-outs from Miley Cyrus and that football player. I don't follow football, but the quarterback, that like they're all responding to you. He's got a podcast with porn stars, like not only like the hottest porn star ever, Kendra Lust. He's murdering it. He's won, what, 6 out of 7? Julia Marquez, how are you, man?
Man, I'm golden, dude. I'm always happy to get on here with you because I feel like you've been through this whole process with me. I've known you for quite some time, so you amp up my ego. I'm like, damn, dude, I forgot about this stuff. I forgot I brought 37 family members to your show in Kansas City. We roll deep out here for sure.
No, your grandma was there. They were all proud of you. I think you had just beaten Matt Hamill in like 9 seconds or something. And your goal was to make it to the UFC. And I mean, I was like, sure, why not? You know, I mean, why wouldn't he make it to the UFC? But I had no idea. Like, you've just been murdering people, man. Sam Alvey is not an easy guy to beat. He's a victory over Rashad Evans. He makes guys look really bad because he's got a really awkward style. It's almost like he's in slow motion, but he hits really hard. Is that what the black eye's from?
Yeah, for sure. He punched me right in the eye. Like, legitimately, I won't forget it. It hit me so hard, I thought my foot was broken. Like, legit. I kid you not. I was slamming my foot down. As I was backing up, I was trying to slam my foot down because I thought for some reason that, like, if I hit it on the ground hard enough, it would, like, pop itself back into place. That was legit what I was doing. And I looked at it. I was like, oh, yeah. It hurt. It hurt a lot.
I mean, were you prepared for that? Like, did you know going in, like, all right, this dude's a hard hitter?
Yeah, I knew Sam was a hard hitter. I mean, I followed him most of my career. What am I saying, most of my career? I followed him most of his career. Like,
right.
You know, I watched him. It was crazy. Prior to him and Tom Watson fighting, they both were in Kansas City or passing through Kansas City. So I met both of them at different points in time. And so, like, just meeting them and a kid growing up in the MMA world, like, when you meet a fighter that's in the UFC, like, you start following them. So I watched him and Tom Watson go at it, which was incredible fight for, I mean, at the time that it was. And then I watched him fight and compete over the years. So I know that guy, it's hard to put him out with punches. And if you think you have him, somehow he comes back and still makes the fight even longer. And it's like, man. So I was prepared for his, his punching power. That's why I wouldn't just stand in front of him and try to trade toe-to-toe. I was going body and head just to mix it up so his punches wouldn't have all the pop to them as they did.
He's also a nice guy. He's like a really good person. He like adopts kids from like third world countries. After the fight, he goes, listen, you know, I wanted to win, but it wasn't God's plan. I mean, I don't know if you could actually, and he goes, God's plan is better than my plan. I mean, that's like, I don't think I've ever taken any kind of loss in any way that as well as he did. Was it hard to get up for a guy that you actually probably like versus a guy that you're like, this guy's a dickhead, I want to fight him?
No, I was super nervous prior to the fight. Let's be real. I was like, my stomach was churning. I felt nauseous, like I wanted to throw up. I remember Krause just constantly, like, you know, telling me all this stuff, like, quit looking at the fighter who he was. Remember who the fighter is now. Like, the highlight reels, they're showing fights of him in the past. The thing is that, like, there's one thing about me, like, I will be nervous. It's just, it's inevitable. Like, I'm about to get in a fist fight with somebody. But, like, the moment I step foot in that octagon, like, something just takes over my entire, like, body, and I'm ready. Like, I
you're a
know,
gamer,
like,
man. I think you and Kelvin Gastelum are the two guys that I like. You guys are just gamers. You know when to step it up. Not always with Kelvin, but for, like, 90%, 5% of his fights. Who do you like this week, Kelvin or Whitaker?
Man, that's a tough fight. Like, we should have got that fight a long ass time ago. Honestly, I think Whitaker, man. Like, Whitaker is just, dude, he's one of the toughest middleweights that we've ever seen, man. And anytime you fight him, he injures you. And it's not like he's intentionally injures you. It's just how his style is. He's a tough fighter. He hits hard. He comes from awkward angles, and he hits places that your body is not used to being hit. Like, I mean, what, he tore out the knee of Darren Till. He broke Cannonier's arm. Him and, I mean, both times that he went with Yoel.
Oh, my
they
God.
They both went to the hospital. Like,
I mean, he was the first guy to make Yoel look human. You know, I mean, he beat up Yoel Romero. I forgot about those fights. Now, a couple things. Now, I thought you were on the right track when you called out Miley Cyrus. It was brilliant, and she responded. I called you up that night. I woke you up. You're like, oh. I don't know if you were drunk or what. You took Ambien to go to bed. I'm like, dude, she responded. And you're like, what should I do? I was like, bro, fucking shave your fucking – shave that your chest. You didn't shave your chest. Was this because you didn't want to look like a fucking crazy fan, or you're looking long-term on this? You think you want to look desperate if you shaved Miley Cyrus in your chest? What was the thinking there?
Man, like, when you called me and woke me up, I was just like, oh, shit, like, cool. Like, I still had to go to bed. Our flight was so early. Our flight was, like, at 6 or 7 in the morning. So, like, you called me at, like, man, I want to say, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. So I was out, mentally drawn from that fight. And, yeah, she responded to me, but let's be real, man. Like, everyone would have done that. And the thing is that I'm not everyone. I'll do my own stuff. Like, this is it's chess, not checkers, man. And I think that that's what got us to have more of a communication between one another, because I just didn't hardcore fanboy out. Like, if someone legitimate, think about it. If someone legit asked you to shave or to do something after you asked them out, like, oh, you know, Adam, would you go out with me? Yeah, sure, I'll go out with you. Give me like $50, and then we'll I'll talk to you about it later on a date, like when we're going out.
Yeah, no.
You'll lose $50. So, like, I just don't. I'm not gonna try to be a simp. I'm not gonna sit there and cater to anything else. And honestly, I thought she was joking as well. And I,
no,
like,
I hear
yeah,
you,
for
man.
Sure. But MC,
I've hooked up with a lot of strippers back in my prime. And I would say 99% of the – actually, almost all of them. Every stripper I ever hooked up with, I didn't get a lap dance from. Like, once you pay them for a lap dance, they put you in this, like, client phase of, like, oh, this dude – they're not going to fuck you. Like, this guy's every other guy that pays you for $20 for a lap dance. But if I'm sitting there like, nah, I'm like, I'll buy you a drink or something. Or, like, all right, let's hang out. Whatever, like, or hey, I'll take you out. And then I'll give you a lap dance. Like, then it's like, okay, that's the way to do it. So I think that was actually good thinking on your part.
Yeah, and at the same time too, man, like, I only asked her to be my Valentine's. I don't understand why everyone was like, oh, he wants to marry her. He wants to go out on a date with her. He wants to be her. I was like, nah, man, just be my Valentine. Like, do you not remember when you were kids, like, you give them, like, the little cards, like, be my Valentine?
Come on.
And then, like,
yeah, shut up. Valentine? All right, I'm not buying this part. You wanted to take her on a date and hang out with her and possibly, you know, make out, whatever you wanted to do. It wasn't just, like, a cute little be my Valentine. Come on, man.
It's Valentine. Dude. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to go on the beach and walk? Like, I'm not going to go
Why not?
I fight for the UFC. There's no way we're going to sit in like the most expensive restaurant or go do like some crazy shit. Like, I don't even know what she's into, man. Like,
but dude, you're like a rugged guy that could protect her, that could probably beat up her dad. She's into guys that are like manly men. She seems like she's kind of a, I would say hillbilly, like a country girl. You know, you fit the description of a guy that she would go for. It was actually a really good call out because she's into guys that are like, can take care of themselves, have facial hair, look like they've been punched a couple times in the head. You know, I don't know if she's going for Justin Timberlake type guys. You know, she's going for a guy like you. So that was actually a good call. Now, but when you called out, what's the quarterback? What's his name?
Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill.
Like, that was cool, but I feel like we were on a much better, like, we were on a much better road with the girls. Like, I mean, you could have went to Taylor Swift, or you could have, like, you could have went other chicks. I feel like we kind of, now you're playing pickleball with a dude. I mean, you were on the right track. I think you got a little too funny. We got to get back to you banging pop stars. That seems a lot more cool. No offense. I'm sure, you know.
It seems, yeah, for sure. The social media and influencer and popularity shot up, calling out Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift, or not Taylor Swift. Actually, I did call out Taylor Swift like many years ago. It didn't work out that well. The popularity goes up with Miley Cyrus, but this is the thing, man. Like, you can't beat a dead horse. Like, it's already ran its path. It's already happened. So it's like, now everybody's expecting, like,
yeah, but you could have pretended hey, Miley, you didn't put out on our date. Maybe next time you could have actually had like a fake relationship with her. I mean, you could have.
I tried to get on the US or the have ABC do The Bachelor. Did you not see that?
Yeah.
I put a pitch out there. Let's put me on The Bachelor. Instead of just calling pop stars out, let's just get 40 women in front of me, put me, you know, in a mansion with unlimited supply of food, drinks, and everything, and have women fight over me. I'm down. Like, this is like the ultimate fighter, but 10 times better. The ultimate babe. That's what we'll call it.
I think it's a good idea. Now, you and Kendra Lust have a podcast together. She's obviously smoking hot. There's a lot of pictures of you guys together that are like you look at them like, oh, like they're banging. Like they have to be banging. Like she's naked in a chokehold with you, or her legs are on top of you, or like, you know, she's grabbing your package. Like, is it what's going on here? Talk to us. The people want to know.
We're business partners, and we have a podcast together, and we do some cool shit. You know, like, that's the thing. If you ever, you have to come out with us whenever we're in Vegas. June is.
Hello? I think you like cut out. Are you back in? Hello? Julian? Julian? What happened? Man. Wait, what? Julian. So, man, damn it. Mike Goodwin? Are you in? Is anybody on the show anymore? I don't know what's going on here. I got Julian. Let me see if I can get better service here. Is this better? Hold on. Let me see. All right, Mike's in this car too. What is this? The fucking comics with cars? What's fighters with comics and cars? Mike, I think Mike Goodwin's here. Julian,
what's up, man?
Julian Marquez is frozen. Julian just left. He was talking about banging Kendra Lust, who's his podcast partner, but I don't think they're having sex. They're just teasing everybody. But Mike Goodwin, well, this is all about you right now because you've been putting on these great shows in Iowa called Caged Aggression. They're 3-day events. A lot of ex-UFC fighters, Bellator fighters, a lot of big fighters are doing this. Talk to me about what's going on.
Well, first of all, man, thanks for having me. You're one of the giants in this thing. You talk to the giants in the sport, so taking the time for me is pretty awesome, man. Thank you. I'm a big fan. Yeah, man, so we're in the Midwest. Obviously, Pat Miletich is from the area that I live in, and he's been pretty instrumental in this whole thing because, to me, kind of like way back, that's where some of this stuff started, you know, with Pat's team and stuff. So about 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, I actually had the opportunity to work for the IFL when they were in business, that team sport.
I love that.
And all I was the driver, man. So I was kind of introduced to the sport with big production and big fights. And when they went out of business, I wanted to stay involved in the sport somehow. So, I got with some buddies and I said, hey, you know, what if we started a promotion, but kind of did it like they do on TV, but at a local level, you know, and start going into these gyms and getting to know these fighters and, you know, just try to make it look like it does on TV, but at a local level. And then here I am 10 years later, 14 two-night events. We just did our first three-night event. I'm working with guys from all over the country, and the thing just keeps snowballing, man.
So who won your last event? Is it a tournament?
No, actually, I don't even know how many years ago it's been now, but we started gaining so much interest to be a part of the show that it just kind of felt like one night wasn't enough. You know, I put a lot of planning and time into building an event, and it just seemed like it come and go so fast that maybe like 7 years ago, I said, why not do a back-to-back night? And it's really just two full events in one weekend, and we call it a two-night event. So it's not a tournament. It's just, 30, 40 fights in one weekend. And like I said, in March, we just actually did our first three-night event. And that was kind of prompted by all these states being shut down and guys just starving to fight, man, from everywhere. Yeah, so I was able to...
Who are some of the names you got?
So, in March, we got to work with Kenny Robertson, a 9-time UFC vet. He actually fought Dante Sciro, who fought in one championship. And they fought for, one of our titles. On Friday night, we got to work with Brandon Jenkins, a big LFA veteran. And he actually fought, and he fought a 5-round title fight versus Aaron. And he actually, on Thursday night, we got to work with a PFL veteran. We got to work with Rakeem Cleveland.
Yeah, I know.
And, so I guess what's happening is, you know, like next month, for example, I'm working with a guy named Eric Shelton, and he was on the UFC Champions series that they did, the Ultimate Fighter. And that was kind of one of those times where, you know, I just feel like a small fry in this thing. And I got a call from the UFC and they said, hey, how would you feel about your 125 champ being on the next Ultimate Fighter? And I'm like, is this a prank call? and then he was on there and he made it to the UFC. And, you know, Austin Hubbard fighting this weekend. He actually was one of our champions. So
yeah, I love Austin Hubbard. Now, Julian Marquez, are you still with us? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I am with you. I don't even know what just happened.
Okay, so you cut out. We lost thing. We got Mike Goodwin on the show, who's promoting Cage Aggression. It's a pay-per-view event, and he's got all these great fighters. Anybody from Europe, from Julian's gym?
I don't believe so. Not on this one, no.
Wait, what's your gym again, Julian?
Glory MMA and Fitness.
Glory MMA? How come you don't have any Glory MMA guys? This is bullshit.
So I have a couple guys, but they have a big show locally, I believe, that weekend. And so a lot of their, a lot of their top coaches are kind of tied up that weekend. We actually had one newer guy that was going to come down and fight, but the timing didn't work out. And another guy that's trying to get back in there, they've got a Bellator vet that was trying to get in too, but they've got a big show that weekend, I believe somewhat locally.
Now you must be paying pretty well because you're getting some names and everybody seems happy to be fighting for you. So you're doing something right.
I got to tell you one thing that really came from all this COVID mess is it really prompted us to do the pay-per-view side. You know, we used to get thousands of people in the venue and they took us down to 30% capacity. So obviously we can't put on a big show with 30%. So we built a pay-per-view platform where the fighter, when you go on and you buy the pay-per-view, you can actually select the fighter that you're supporting. So they get a percentage of every buy under their name. So in March, we had 60 fighters compete and all 60 fighters had buys under their name. So I'm sending out commission checks the week after the show. That's been instrumental. Plus we do like an interactive pay-per-view. So we've got Jens Pulver and Pat Miletich calling the fights. You can actually ask them questions live while you're watching the pay-per-view. And that's been huge for us, man. And for the fighters to try to bridge the gap with all these restrictions.
All right. So when's your next event?
May 7th and 8th.
All right. And who are the, and why should I buy this event?
Because it's great matchups, man. I've got fighters from all over the country now wanting to fight, not just local guys. So I'm able to really put great matchups together. And because it's cheap, it's only $30.
Only $30. And who are the main guys I can see? Who are some of the names I can see?
We're bringing in a guy from Hawaii named Riley Dutro. I believe he's right on the cusp, man. He's 14-4, 15-4. He's fighting a four-time UFC vet, Eric Shelton, for our flyweight title. That's a big fight for us, man, especially because Eric's originally from this area. On Friday night, we're doing a we're bringing in a guy from Oregon named Adam Fugit. He actually is a K-1 champion. He's, I believe, 8-2. He's coming to fight a hometown boy that just beat up a guy from Wisconsin. And I believe he's right there too, man. His name's Josh Neal, and they're definitely contenders. You know, whether it's here or out in Oregon, and really, I'm trying to get these guys calls to bigger stages, whether it be LFA or Bellator. And I believe this matchup does that for those guys.
I love it, Mike. I love it. So, okay, so what's the website that I could buy this on?
Real simple, cagedaggression.tv. Cagedaggression.tv.
Well, thank you for taking the time.
Dude, thank you.
I'm gonna be watching this. I love the guys you have. I love some of the guys you have. I love that guy, Trace. Did Trace win his fight?
He did, man, in pretty dominant fashion once again. He had a step up in competition from his pro debut. He looks fantastic. He's a great kid, too.
I love it. Well, thank you, Mike. Take care. Have a good week.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, brother. Mike, good one. All right, back to you banging these porn stars. Okay, way more entertaining. So
I missed that one.
All right, so basically, Julian Marquez saw his fight last week. Bill Dawes is here. Julian has been killing it. Submitted mm-hmm. Sam Alvey. Has a podcast with Kendra Lust. He says he's his business partner, whatever the hell that means. But they're also friends. So what I think is happening is this: Kendra is hooking you up with her friends. Because I think she's a lesbian, right? So you're sleeping with her friends, but you don't want to fuck. She probably wants to bang you, but you don't want to mess it up because then she'll have feelings for you. You won't be able to fuck all her friends. Is that true, Julian?
She's actually married.
Oh, okay. Well, there goes my theory.
But she does love women for sure. And she has a lot of supportive friends that love UFC as well.
So you're hooking up with her friends. Julian, you're living the dream, man. You're now you come a long way from since Top Golf. Are you still working at Top Golf or no?
No, man, they fired me, dude.
Why'd they fire you?
They fired me so back like when the pandemic happened, they like put everyone on like temporary leave or whatever. And then whenever they started having more people come back, like in January or July of 2020, they called me and said, hey, we're doing limited openings. Like, will you be interested in coming in? I was like, no, right now, like, I have a fight in August. I need to make sure that, you know, you guys are a safe environment for me to go and work with the COVID restrictions and everything and the quarantine with the UFC. I was like, man, I don't want to run the risk of being around a lot of people and then testing positive for COVID and then losing my fight. So I told them, like, you know, let's hold off. Let's wait a minute. And then the next thing I know is, like, they end up calling me in like, the end of July. And they said, hey, if you don't show up to work, then we are going to terminate you. And, they called it voluntarily terminate. I was like, I'm not voluntarily anything. I'm not quitting my job. It's just you're not safe for me to come back. You've already had, I think they had, like, six workers test positive for COVID. So during the time of them being open, and then they just like argued with me and said, we have to let you go. You can still work for the company, but we're going to voluntarily terminate you. And I was like, that's incorrect. I'm not giving up. Like, I'm not quitting.
The only reason they just that is because your posts about people who are bad tippers were hilarious. Those were some of my favorite things. You would put people on blast all the time for giving you bad tips.
And absolutely.
Now, do you like training? Are you going back to Vegas at all to train with Syndicate, or are you strictly Kansas City now?
Man, I've been strictly Kansas City. The camaraderie we have here at this gym and the team with led by James Krause, Grant Dawson, Jason High, and Austin Ford, like they're masterminds at their craft. They understand how to get the job done, how to seek the victory. They know how to train me and teach me exactly how what I need to progress in this sport. And Syndicate is a great gym. And when I go back out there, I'll still go train with all my friends and stuff. But majority of the people that I trained with and worked out with 3 years ago, whenever my arm was intact, you know, they're all gone. They all left. There's really the gym cycled everyone out and started brand new. John's done a great job building that team fresh, and he's doing a great job in getting these guys like in the UFC as well. So, you know, hats off to him. I just right now the guys at Glory MMA are the right fit for me at this time.
Is Anthony Gutierrez still work out there?
Yes, he does. Shark Bay.
I fucking love that guy.
Dude, he's a wild one, man. But he's a savage too, man.
Yeah, he is a savage. Now, Ben Askren versus Jake Paul. Freddie Roach today said that Jake Paul is going to knock out Ben Askren. I mean, that Ben Askren is going to knock out Jake Paul. Freddie Roach has been training with Askren. Said he's going to sit him on his ass. Other people like Uriah Faber are saying that Jake Paul's got him. What is your opinion on this fight?
Dude, in all honesty, it doesn't really matter. You know, these guys both are going to make a significant amount of money off of a fight. Jake Paul, his YouTuber following and everything, they're gonna pay him as well as Ben Askren. So technically the real winners are them two. It doesn't matter who wins or who loses. But in my honesty, for an amateur boxer, I feel as if Jake Paul actually has decent hands. He's not bad. Very fundamental, very powerful. He's way bigger than Ben Askren. Ben Askren's been in there with some of the best, and if you want to sit there and, you know, throw a flying knee at him while he's taking a shot, yeah, of course you're going to knock him out, but it's boxing. I don't see him knocking him out cold on the – I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like Ben can eat some shots for sure. I think it's just going to be the real winners are those two. And
yeah, but you don't
everybody
think
that watches.
Jake Paul knocks out Ben Askren and then his entire Twitter and Instagram is going to be him shitting on the UFC fighters. That's going to be annoying to everybody.
He's not shitting on UFC fighters. He's just shitting on a retired fighter that had hip surgery 7 months ago.
Point. Good yeah. point.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't bother me. Look, he can sit there and call out whoever he wants and stuff, but at the end of the day, he will never amount to be a UFC fighter. You're boxing somebody that's not a boxer. Again, you're boxing someone that's not even a striker. You're boxing a wrestler, grappler, like.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going to happen with Jake Paul is he's going to get the echo chamber, tell him how amazing he is, and then he's going to challenge a real UFC striker next.
Oh, man. I feel like Henry Cejudo would knock him out.
He would. Cejudo's calling out Mayweather. And now they're saying Eddie Alvarez is going to fight Oscar De La Hoya. That's the word. Some people said it was going to be Chuck Liddell versus De La Hoya. But now they're saying it's going to be Eddie Alvarez versus De La Hoya.
This is the thing, man. Like, look, I love actual fight. I love fighting, man. When we sit there and watch, like, the last fight, the Yusuf Zadig versus Arnold Allen. Like, that's a fight. Like, that was an exciting fight to me. Like, watching these two people try to make it to push their names up. Like, that is a competitive fight. But I can't watch competitive fights all the time because my heart can't take it just from the excitement. So I like these matchups where you have, like, a YouTuber versus a retired UFC fighter. I think that's great. I think the sports need that. But, like, I know it is what it is. It's just a celebrity fight. That's all it is. Like,
so you're going to watch Aaron Carter versus Lamar Odom?
I'd watch that.
They are fighting. They're boxing. They're like legit boxing.
Are they really?
Yeah. Come in. Yeah. Say hi. How are you? Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
When do they have this matchup?
It's going to be in June. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's going to be in June. I swear. He's been through five trainers already. Aaron Carter. I guess he keeps firing his trainer. I don't know what weight. Lamar Odom's like 6'9". Maybe he's back on the crack or something. I don't know how he's going to make, but the fight is happening. And they said they're going to have Snoop Dogg be the ref. That's like,
that's back to old school celebrity boxing when it was like Manute Bol versus like the fucking Tanya Harding type of shit.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember when I really had that like exhibition fight of the Shaquille O'Neal and
De La Hoya.
Mayweather?
No, it was De La Hoya.
No, it was Mayweather.
Shane Mosley? It wasn't Mayweather. It was like I think it was De La Hoya. It was like for that TV show, right? Like Shaq.
Yeah, and it was just I can't think of it, but that's what we're doing now. We just have better opportunity when it comes to it, and better like more realistic fights, even though it's just a celebrity hype fight. Like, we need that, honestly. Like, the world needs that. We need to see some of these like YouTubers that are talking, or some of these internet warriors that are talking, going against a celebrity, and then have them go at it. But
wow, so you're happy about this? A lot of people are like angry about it. They're saying it's a disgrace to the sport, that Jake Paul shouldn't be getting $500,000, and Ben Askren is you know, tarnishing his name, and yada yada. You're going the other way.
Yeah, dude. Like, okay, so wait a minute. So you're telling me that you're upset, and what I mean by your, I mean the greater your.
Yeah.
You're upset that two people came together that had an idea that can sell fights, that can promote fights, that can build a fight up and make a lot of money. You're mad because they're doing it. But if the shoe was on the other foot and you could be in the same position, you'd gladly fucking take that.
Right. Yeah, no, like Marvin. Well, Marvin Vittori was mad about it. Marvin Vittori was the guy pissed off about the whole thing. But that guy's just, he's pissed off about everything. Like that.
That sounds about right.
I don't really know what that guy's not pissed off about. But he's a great fighter. Marvin Vittori is legitimately a great fighter.
He's the real deal for sure. He's the great fighter to watch. Like, I like watching him fight because, you know, it's a fight. It's a great competition. But I can't watch Marvin Vittori fight 7 times in a row. I need this excitement fight with, like, Ben Askren and Jake Paul. Like, that would just get me, like, right? You know what I mean? It just, yeah, there we go.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to watch Kelvin Gastelum fight, but I think before that, or it's the same time, but I'm 100% going to order this stupid fight, and then I'm going to see Frank Mir box Steve Cunningham, who's like 97 years old. He was supposed to fight Antonio Tarver, but Tarver couldn't pass the physical, which I think consists of like touching your toes. I don't even understand, like, how bad a shape you have to be to not pass a boxing physical. I mean, seriously, in an exhibition match, not even in a real fight. That's crazy, right?
That's absurd. I mean, and honestly, when I saw that matchup, I was like, oof, there's paydays, and then there's days that you don't want to fight. And that would have been a day I wouldn't want to fight. I wouldn't fight Tarver. Tarver is a KO artist. It doesn't matter if he's been removed of it for a long time, that he knows how to throw his right hand solid. That would have been a very at what point do you like say like money's not worth it?
Well, I heard he's getting like $500,000. Frank Mir is.
I mean, cool. I wouldn't. $500,000 is a lot of money, but I don't know. Brain damage and fucking not being able to eat soup later on, getting knocked out against a guy that's a KO artist is not worth $500,000. Yeah. Now, if he did that, like, if he was fighting Jake Paul, then yeah, like that would be good. But I don't know, man.
I'm like trying to open my garage door right now, and it's not working. I got this thing. Like, this is the best podcast ever. So we have Dan, the Hitman Moret, as well. You know Dan Moret, Julian.
Oi, Dan. How much would it cost for you to fight Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson. I'd probably do it for $1 million. $1 million even's a nice round number. That's a big one. And it depends how many fouls and warnings I get for holding and running.
For holding and running. Okay, so you see it the same way. Like, you got to make a lot of money to stand in there and possibly potentially get knocked out by one of the hardest hitting people, right?
Yeah. Well, you said it before. It was like, well, how much money is it worth? It's like, it doesn't matter if I got all that money, if I can't even remember who my wife or kids are or nothing. Like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't even have the brain to enjoy it. It ain't worth it.
Now, I got into a debate with somebody the other day that Uncle Creepy, people were telling me Uncle Creepy could beat Mike Tyson in a fight, like in an actual fight. And I was like, dude, I love Uncle Creepy, but I don't see that happening. And they were like, tell me, no, Creepy could double leg him and choke him out. And in a one-on-one fight, Creepy's about 190 right now, or 180 of muscle. He's not fat. Who wins that fight?
And between who two?
No, between Uncle Creepy and Mike Tyson.
Uncle Creepy and Mike Tyson? Stop it.
No, not in a boxing match, in a fight. Who wins that fight? People are telling me that Creepy could beat Mike Tyson in an actual, like, fight.
Like, jiu-jitsu and wrestling and
Yeah.
Do you not remember when Randy when Randy took down, was it Tony James, with a low single?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you got to do.
So you think Creepy beats Mike Tyson in a fight? Julian, can you guys hear me? Hello?
I mean, yeah. I mean, can you hear yourself?
Yeah, I can hear myself. You think Creepy wins that fight?
If it's MMA all around, yeah, for sure. I think he's going to – I would drop down, hit a low single, grab the leg, run. He's going to lose. Like, I mean, his hip is pretty bad from – and his hip and back are pretty bad from that that fall he had on that hoverboard. He had surgeries and everything, so you just run that out. He's going to fall down, and if he's on top, I mean, Uncle Creepy knows how to fight off his back and even on top of somebody, you know, if you're thinking it. Now, if it was straight boxing, all day I'll go with Tyson.
So, Hitman, do you actually agree, Dan Hitman Moret?
Yeah, I think, Creepy's a small guy, but if he's not, like, cutting the weight and he's not as small as he was – He's good enough to be able to wrestle Tyson. You know, like, yeah, you can't get hit coming in. You got to know that. You got to avoid two or three hard uppercuts on your way in there. And once you get a hold of that leg, do not let go.
Wow.
Hope his hammer fists aren't that good to the side of your head as you're trying to run the pipe on the single leg, and he doesn't just sleep you from one of those. And, get him down. And once you had him down, I think, yeah, obviously he's got a huge advantage there. Like, he can get a choke. I don't know. Tyson doesn't really have a neck either, though, so that's not an easy choke to get, I don't think.
So Dan, can we talk about the girl you brought to my show or no? Are you guys still together?
Sure.
All right. So Dan came to my show in Arizona with, like, a smoking hot bodybuilder chick. Now, a lot of times bodybuilder girls, they go too far. Like, they just – it's too much. Like, if they too – the jaw, they got the – it's kind of – it's sort of like, you know, but this girl was still extremely attractive. And I made jokes about how, like, during handies, it's like three strokes and you're done and like, she'll rip it off. And it was a first date or like a second date.
First one, yeah.
First date. And you guys met on some, like, bodybuilding website or something. I don't know. Like, it was like.
Well, if you want to call Instagram that, yeah.
So how's it going with that girl?
Good. Obviously, the last couple weeks since that show been kind of busy for me and hectic, getting things lined up and everything that happened. But, we went and had coffee yesterday, so that went good.
Nice. And,
I have a question. I've never dated a bodybuilder, but they're muscular everywhere, right? So I imagine the Kegels are probably pretty intense. Is that a real thing?
Well, like, I do not know yet. I went to the comedy show on the coffee, so I have not. That would be all guessing at my point, but let's just cross the fingers and hope so. Hopefully she watches this, right?
And you guys were both cutting weight. You were cutting weight for your fight, and she was cutting weight for her bodybuilding competition. So,
I was just staying ready and being able to take the call, which fortunately came. And then, she competes, and it's figure. So it's like, you know, the little different categories. Bikini is like the skinniest little small girls in figure and some wellness, I think. And then it's bodybuilding. So she's not technically a bodybuilder, but yeah, same sort of thing.
Got it.
Just
got
not
it.
Bigger than me.
How'd you
I'm not a huge
her?
Guy, but I'm like a nice guy. If they're bigger than me,
yeah.
It's like, hey.
Did you slide into her DMs? Is that how you got her?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Somehow popped up on some gym or something, and I saw her, and she had just moved down from Washington State. So, you know, figured I'd slide in before all the rest of the bodybuilder dudes did. See if I play my cards quickly.
She was very oily.
Some dude with bigger arms. Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of guys with bigger arms than me that are hitting her up. So.
No, you guys look like you were good like she liked you, but she was an attractive girl. Like it was one of the things where she was like hot but had like a neck. You know, like she had like those like things where you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know,
yeah. She's got traps a little bit.
Yeah, she had some traps.
So
you won
right
your
about
fight.
The right spot.
So you won your fight last week against Goti Yamauchi. The dude was like ranked third in Bellator, had like 100 submissions. It was a controversial fight. I gave you the fight, but it was close. You had him rocked in the first. Like you almost had him out. What could you have done better?
Knocked him out. Hit him a little harder. Crank that left hand in there a little harder. It was a super close fight. Like you said, I mean, could have gone either way. You know what I mean? I half was expecting it to give it to them just because of who he was and the promotion, the name he had and everything. And, you know, he had a lot of control time, you know, but I was doing all the damage and, you know, coming forward. So either way, but yeah, you know, it's just defended against little takedowns a little better. You know, I had to play the submission defense game kind of slow. So there wasn't like a chance to try to just scramble out of there because he's so good on transitions that I couldn't really, you know, get up right away and try to knock him out again or finish it. But, you know, just being a little more aggressive and getting after it, I think I could put him away. So, I should have stayed in my place and took that third ranking. Somehow the panel of media guys that rank the fighters think that him losing still warrants him a third place ranking. So
that's so stupid.
That's kind of odd.
It's real weird. Rankings are for the people. Rankings are for the fans. The rankings don't mean the fight or anything. We were actually last week, we were betting on the fights, and we saw your guys' line. And James Krause and I both looked at each other and were like, this is way too far of a line. I think you were at like a plus like 3-something, 4. I was like, that's way too far. So we put money on you in the over, and it was the greatest thing. We had a very successful night. But when it comes to rankings, there's people in the spots of those numbers that it's just for the fans to look at the number and be like, oh, this is why this guy is like, oh, these two are fighting like this. We're going to be a good matchup because of the numbers. To be honest, we all know who the real spots are. The fighters know, the actual promotion knows like, all right, this guy is the real. But for the fans, that's why they got numbers beside them.
But you were in a tough spot, though, because you were on call every week for the UFC. Like, when I talked to you, every week they were like, you got to be in the USADA pool, right? They told you you had to make weight because you might fight that week. For how many weeks in a row?
Man, my management was, I mean, basically the whole pandemic. Like, I had the one fight outside the UFC and got a knockout win over a UFC veteran. So, like, hey, you're not maybe the top guy in line for a fight at lightweight, but you're close. You know you can fight. They know you're a high-level guy. They'd rather take a risk on you than some guy who's 5-0, who's only a prospect. So, man, I was, like, in shape and ready for the past year and some. I would have to sit and look at all the cards, which fights are coming up at lightweight, which fights are coming up at welterweight. Are those, like, guys that they would put me in there against? Obviously, they're not going to put me in against the top-ranked guy usually, or UFC probably wouldn't have. So I was ready and on weight for months, really just like, okay, which fights have 2 or 3 fights to lightweight? Are they at welterweight? Cause I mean, I would fight there. Not that I want to, but you know, I was willing to do it at 6 feet tall and a pretty good size lightweight now. And I'd taken the time to put on some size and get that back. So I was like, I was willing to do it, but yeah, I was just being ready and in shape and you know, those opportunities come.
Is there a disadvantage to being in shape all the time? Like, is there any disadvantage of that? Is there something good about letting yourself go for a bit?
Well, and those are loose terms, right? Like being in shape and then like letting yourself go, both. So you can't be exactly what would be like fight shape, I would say, because that would require more sparring than probably would be good for a person over a certain amount of time. Like you can't be like doing hard rounds every week for a year straight that's going to be like tough on you and wear and tear. But you also like, yeah, you can't really just let yourself totally go either, you know? And I'm a guy that doesn't do that kind of stuff. Some people get away with it, you know, some people party and hang out and do whatever most of their fight camp and they get away with it. But,
I mean, you know, never looks like he's in shape. I mean, like Julian, like you're the best because people look at you and like, I'm going to beat this guy. And then you just go out there and fucking rock him. So
good thing. House, man. I was in camp from June of last year for all these fights. So right now we had to sit back and stop. Like, we're like, hey, you need to take time off. Like, my nutritionist, my coach, my manager was like, we need you to like recover because like he's saying, man, being for an entire year, I've been in a fight camp. I started in June for a fight in August that didn't happen. I had another fight in November, and then I had another fight in February, and now April, and we're coming up on a year, and I've just been in straight fight camp, not regular, just training, and it takes a toll on your entire body, like your mental, your psyche, your just not being able to eat all the delicious food, just like looking at a Snickers bar and like wishing you can have it, or looking at even like a legit steak. Like, I couldn't eat steak for almost a year. So I was like, nah, man, this sucks.
That's crazy. Now, the fights this week, let's talk about Phil Davis versus Nemkov. I know you're a Bellator stud, so Hitman, this is, I like Davis in this. I know Nemkov looked great against Bader, but I think something about Phil Davis, like being such a big underdog, I think is going to relax him. I feel like sometimes he doesn't, it's like the pressure gets to him. He lets the pressure get to him in big fights, but I think when he's relaxed is when he's at his best. And I don't know. It was a close fight the first time they fought, like in Israel. And I think that, you know, it's a weird place to fight. But I think that I think Phil Davis got this. You, Julian, Hitman, Dawes, talk to me. Julian, you go.
Yeah, I like Davis. Yeah, I trained with him for a little while actually out in San Diego at Alliance. And he's an awesome guy. One, so I'm pulling for him anyway. But with his style, I think he can get it done. You know, like you said, he kind of comes underrated because he's maybe not always flashy. There are fights when he knocks guys cold and he gets incredible submissions and stuff. But I think his style translates well to, like, his size and his age, you know, because he's fought a ton. He has a huge amount of experience. But he's able to win fights and not take kind of, like, crazy damage. And I like the matchup for him there, you know. Nemkov, like, he's obviously a stud, but still sort of, in a way, unproven. Like, he's fought tough guys, but we'll see how he can hold up to being a champion. You know,
I thought the one guy almost beat him. The one guy, was it the wrestler that he fought? Who was the guy that, didn't he fight some stud wrestler that was, like, super close to having a rear naked choke in the end? Was that somebody else? Is that another Russian fucking stud? Marquez, who do you like in this?
Look, that fight, man, Nemkov is, I feel like he's evolving, and he's evolving in every fight. And that's one thing that keeps me strong on him. And he's a dangerous guy. He's got power, and anything can happen when you have power. I think Phil Davis has a very tactical and intelligent way and approach to fight, but sometimes it can be his worst enemy. I think it's a tough fight for me. I have Nemkov going all the way to the finals, to be honest.
But Phil has a Korean wife and they own a deli. Okay, you got to go for the guy with the Korean wife and the deli. I mean, come on.
I just would never bet against a guy whose last name is Koff, just because, like, those Russians, man.
They really are. Have you trained a lot of guys from Dagestan, Marquez, or Hitman?
I have not. I've trained. We have a Russian heavyweight in Glory, and I will tell you this. This kid was a bodybuilder. He's 23 years old. He was Sambo champ. And the one thing he does very, very annoyingly is that when he locks his hands, you can't break it. Doesn't matter what you do. When he locks his hands, you can't break his grip. You can't do anything. And he'll just hold you the entire 5 minutes. He'll lift you up, place you down. You're trying to run. You're trying to go. And he just – it's terrible. But
what about you, Hitman?
I've only trained with those kind of guys a couple times in passing, in Colorado a little bit, and then in Vegas being out there, just when there's tons of people, you know, there's kind of hot spots of, like, traveling fighters and stuff coming through. So I rolled around with a couple in Colorado at Elevation Fight Team, those guys, the Easton crew, and man, there were some tough dudes for sure, just stocky and built like, and just going hard. Like, they didn't understand, like, hey, we're drilling for the first part of practice. It was, like, live, like, do slam takedowns, but not what the takedown we're drilling. They're just, like, shaking their head at each other, speaking no English. Like, no, 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 not for me. We're just going to slam the American. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So
now, do you think Rose is going to be – you train with Rose, right?
Yeah, I did. Yep, I trained with her back in Minnesota a bunch and been around her and Pat quite a bit, so – yeah. She's brought my old coach Greg Nelson again to be part of her camp. So,
do you think she's going to beat Zhang? Yeah.
I think she has a style too. Again, that's a super tough, like, pick 'em kind of a fight. They're both, I mean, those are two of the women that are like head and shoulders above the other ones. You know, there's a few girls that can, like, they're at a whole different level. You know, their game is just not quite as experienced as the men's game, as far as like where they're at and in the elevation, like the evolution of it, you know? So there's like a few people that are just head and shoulders above, and those two are a couple of them. So it's like, man, no, her slick style and everything she does versus just that power and aggression of Zhang just makes for a great fight. But I think Rose can pull it off.
Bill, what were you saying?
Well, you know, what's crazy about that is like, Rose was trying to do the whole, like, I'm not going to let this communist beat me. You know, I'm an American. She was playing that whole card, like the Rocky Balboa, Ivan Drago. But now, like, America is mostly communist. So that's just come across as racist.
Yeah, she lost fans with that, especially with like the Stop Asian Hate. It's like, not the,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You got to read the room. By the way, me and Bill did a show last night at a weed dispensary / studio, and Bill got high on stage for the first time.
Oh,
and
fuck,
I didn't know that you stuttered until then. Because but that reminded me. I was on my way to a show one time, and somebody's like, hey, you want a Jolly Rancher? I go, sure. Didn't tell me it was a fucking edible. And then I'm about to go on stage, and I'm like, dude, I think I got been poisoned. And he goes, oh, that was me. I gave you the – I go, why did you tell me that was marijuana? I do an entire set, blitzed out of my mind. And every time a joke didn't work, which was frequently, I thought that the joke was never funny, and everyone had been lying to me my entire life who laughed. Like, you go into this, like, deep. And no, Hitman, why are you so homeless? Why have you been at 19 gyms? What's going on?
Man, it's just moving around trying to find your spot, you know what I mean, and what makes sense and works for you, you know? And it's just the whole martial arts, like, lifestyle has been a real experience for me. So I let it take me to places, you know what I mean? And like, do its thing, you know, I want to see the world and be able to do that and experience it. So the fights are obviously fun.
Once he fucks all the girls in one gym, he wants to go to the other gym. And
it's super hard. You can only shit where you sleep for so long. That's why
now he's on the bodybuilders. He's finding new gyms with bodybuilders in them. He's done with MMA fighters.
I don't train there, so it's a little easier.
Yeah. Now, by the way,
able to have a relationship now because he doesn't see him every single day. I like that tactic. I'm going to dive into bodybuilding too, man. I went to porn stars. That's the difference. I went to porn stars because at least everybody can enjoy.
You know what? I used to like hook up with a bunch of porn stars, and I always thought that like it was fun because they would be like, if you were good in bed, they'd recommend you to like their friends. They'd give you like a good Yelp review and stuff. But because like they only keep a certain amount of guys in their circle that aren't in porn. But the thing is that I thought, you know, they wouldn't get attached because that's what they do for a job, and I was completely wrong. Every girl gets attached, or nobody looks at it just as sex. It's a fantasy. But back to you, Dan. Do you ever train with Brock Lesnar?
No, like we never really crossed paths there in Minnesota. Even though my coach was kind of his coach, all his sessions were, of course, private, and a lot of it was up in the compound he had, which is a little north of Minneapolis and Alexandria, Minnesota, when he was there. So, I've met the guy a couple of times and then shaking his giant hand and hoped he didn't squish me. Never really trained with him, rolled around with him at all. I would have needed help for sure.
All right, other fights on this card. One I'm looking forward to. I think your ex-teammate, Dracar Close, another guy who Arizona is the funniest place for MMA because there's like seven gyms. It started off as one gym. You ever see Trolls 2? It's basically like It starts off as one gym, and then they went to like Cejudo started kind of his gym, and everyone went there, and Eddie Cha left, John Krause, and there's another gym, and then O'Malley has like his compound now. There's like 16 gyms in Scottsdale, and they all like leave each gym and break up with the gym and join a new gym and then come back. It's am I right? Is it?
Yeah, well, it's incredible how many high level gyms are in the like greater Phoenix area. It's crazy where it's not just like, oh, that's the one gym for the state where the, like the high level UFC Bellator kind of guys are at. It's like, no, there's several of those around. And yeah, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it's different for everybody. Some people can be with one coach or one team their whole career. And other guys, it's like every 6 weeks they're going somewhere else. And other guys, it's like a couple years there or whatever it is. But yeah, Arizona, it's the decks get shuffled a little bit here. Yeah.
Yeah. And the women are insanely hot. Dracar Close, Jeremy Stevens. Who wins that one?
Dude, that's a sick fight. Cause I used to train with Jeremy too in San Diego. I know him as well, man. So I do. It's weird when you're like buddies are fighting, but I also love it. Cause I'm like, sweet. Well, one's going to for sure win. And it's got a great fight, man. I love both dudes, but I think Dracar can pull this off, man. Like, Jeremy's a fucking tough guy, and you cannot get hit by him. It's going to go bad if you get hit by him. But I think Dracar has, like, he learned a lot from his last fight. He's training hard, dude. I know him, even with his bouncing around Arizona training system, half of it in his garage with his girlfriend Courtney and, you know, wherever else they go to. He's training hard, and I think he pulls it off.
Julian?
Yeah, man, I'll have to piggyback off of Hitman's same scenario. I think that coming up in weight will be good for Jeremy Stevens, but I think that Klaus has a great, like, his great tactics and approach to all these type of heavy hitter fighters. The only thing I don't like is whenever he gets injured, he tries to trade for punch for punch. And if that happens, I feel like Jeremy Stevens would take over, but I think it's going to be it's going to be a tough fight, but I think Close takes this one.
And, by the way, we didn't introduce Bill Dawes to you guys. Bill Dawes is a hilarious comedian, also a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, was also in the movie. He's in the new Wu-Tang series since SWAT. He was in Sex and the City, right?
Yeah.
I'm right? Yeah. You were in that? What other shows were you in?
The Desperate
Housewives. Desperate Housewives, right?
I'm not that old.
He was on Broadway. Very, very talented guy. And then obviously we know Julian, who's trying to bang Miley Cyrus, who's killing it right now. And Hitman, who's you know. So wait, so Hitman, you haven't banged that girl yet. Are you worried because she's a bodybuilder that, you know, she might be able to take you?
You know, I'm not worried she'll be able to take me. I'm just hoping for a good struggle, you know.
All right, that's a little creepy. All right, so are you, I mean, do you like her, and is that why you're kind of playing it cool, like you don't want to come across too fast because you actually like the girl?
Yeah, she's a real intriguing woman, you know. Besides being incredibly attractive, she makes me real curious, so I'm willing to put in some time and effort and do that, you know what I mean? I'm 34 years old, and at this point, you know, I've run around and done enough, you know what I mean? I've lived this lifestyle jumping around gym to gym, you know what I mean? Killing all the training partners and the other innuendos you want to use there. But
are you in a bunker right now, or is that the creepy van?
Basically, like, yeah. You want to talk about creepy? And this is funny. I picked her up in this rig the first date. So this is my little project vehicle, my little adventure van.
Wow.
So in the back of this van, if you want to check out.
Wait, what the hell?
Oh, shit.
Wait, is this where you live?
Oh, yeah. This is Yeah, I live here full time in this van right outside the gym. No, I do not live in it. And this is not, like, the final little form of the thing. You know, I got a nice deal with a Fieldcraft Survival company I work with. They do, like, preparedness stuff, firearms training, so I teach combatants for them. But, we got a bunch of stuff set up with the mobility division to like redo this whole thing. So this van is going to get a whole like Line-X coating on the outside, lift and wheels and tires and the whole nine. So it's kind of like a little adventure rig. So I'm going to do away with the bed in the back and kind of just make it like bench seating so I can fill it up with the crew and we can go and run around and camp and hike and do all the crazy shit we do and jump off cliffs and stuff. So right now it's just a total creep band. It's just a white work band with no logos on it. I'm considering, when I get that paint job lined up, I'm considering doing free candy on the side for like a week maybe. But
oh my god,
it's like that's a real risky move in Arizona because people will shoot you. So
yeah, free candy,
you know, not
hey, I can actually idea. I can connect you with a buddy of mine who does raps. He's actually in Vegas, so you could probably take your band up there and get it completely wrapped. Wouldn't cost you, I mean, he'd probably sponsor you, but it would help out your creepy van for sure.
Ha. I can put whatever creepy logo I want on the side.
Well, if you ever want to tease Kelvin Gastelum, just put free burritos and then just drive past and see what happens.
A little taco truck.
Exactly. Now, also your teammate, Tracy Cortez, right?
Yes.
I mean, talk about a smoke show. Marquez, you got to call her out. I think she might have a boyfriend, but this girl is the hottest girl in MMA, hands down. Like,
really?
Naturally, too. Like, not like, I think they all, I don't know. I mean, yeah, and she knows it, but not too much. You know, she doesn't flaunt it as much. Like, you know how sometimes, like, it's, like, too much where you're just like, all right, I get it, you're hot. Like, you have to have every fucking nerd tell you how hot you are. But she's fighting Justin Keish. How's Tracy looking, Hitman?
Tracy has leveled up a lot recently, big time. She's taking everything way more serious and, like, realizing the opportunity that she has, which I don't think some of the girls do. I mean, anybody, right? Any fighter, really. But especially those female fighters and ones like her, where she is a super attractive girl. But first of all, she can fight. She can really fight. And so she knows, like, she has a real opportunity to be a champion. Like, hey, they're going to keep giving you the right fights and you're going to do this thing right. You can be a champion. And she's taking advantage of it. She's, like, working super hard. So I think she's going to finish her and finish her early. Like, she is looking nasty and sharp. She's never been in better shape. Which, so now's the time, Julie, and I would get on that one. You know, start playing your cards this early this week before she gets the win.
Yeah, you're Cuban. She's Mexican. You guys have some Latino kids together.
We got this down. All right. Well, is she single? Is this how we approaching it? Like, let me know.
I believe so. You know, I don't delve into her business too much, but I think, yeah, she's single right now.
Will you lend Julian your van?
Yes, for sure. I will take all the cameras out, and you can borrow the van. For sure. Nice.
Oh, fuck it, that. Keep like... it in, man. OnlyFans. Let's start this OnlyFans like... up. We're trying to get paid. Let's go. We'll split it.
I have a side bench that's better. It's only Dan's, and that it also doubles on my OnlyVans account. So the money streams are already built in. If you guys are cool, sign off on the content, then we can really make it happen. Those two sites, I'm like the main guy on both of them, basically because I started them. But we could definitely get some real traffic there with big names like you guys.
I'm with it. I mean, Fake Taxi started somewhere, so we got a good place. The Only Dan's and Only Vans, I'm with it.
Phil, what were you saying?
Yep. You can park it or I can drive. Either way, it's fine. I'll drive you around. The scenery can change in the background. It's cool.
I feel like we definitely have to change it up.
Female fighters in the UFC, female fighters, they always have fighter boyfriends. Not true with the male fighters. Male fighters will date like fucking lawyers and shit. But female fighters, I feel like they always date fighters. Isn't that right?
Well, I think they're surrounded by like manly dudes all day in the gym who are like, hey, you got to work on this to defend the rear naked choke. Put my hand on your boob. You know, it just seems like they're around guys that are like very athletic. And
yeah, that makes sense.
And every girl that I talk to, they always say, I could never date a guy that I could beat up. That's really the thing. And how are they going to know that? You know, they're not going to go fight with the random dudes in the street. Like, oh, you could beat me up. So they pretty much know the guys in the gym could beat them up, a lot of them. So I feel like it's sort of, they're getting a good sample size. Now, this other guy, the fight that I want to see is Alexander Romanov, this heavyweight, who has insane wrestling and crazy chokes. Bill, he did like his last choke, he just basically just like strangled the guy with like one arm or his forearm choke. Or it was like strange. It was like so simple. It was impressive. You ever like see, and he fought a guy named Juan Espino, who goes by El Guapo, who hasn't lost since 2011. So this should be a good fight. Marquez, you know anything about these guys?
Yeah, actually I trained with Juan, earlier before the pandemic, right after I got cleared, we wrestled. So Juan actually was I guess in Spain they have this like really untraditional style of wrestling, and it's almost like flag wrestling, but they'll send like 5 or 6 people after you, and you have to fend off 5 people. Like it's weird. You can't touch the ground at all. If you get taken down, it's over. So he has to throw these people down. Say what?
Like Bukkake wrestling or something? That's crazy.
Yeah, it could be something like that. It's very odd. I've never seen it, but he was like a world champion. And he was there with Michel Bautista, who was an Olympic wrestler, one of the wrestlers that beat DC back in 2008. And they were up there, and I wrestled with him. I trained with him. Dude, the guy's grappling is unreal. His scrambles are unreal. I like that matchup a lot. I actually got Juan Espinoza in that one. He's a savage. Most people don't really realize it, but this guy can move for a heavyweight.
Well, with one loss, he got knocked down in 9 seconds, which tells me, number one, he just got clipped. It might have been an early stoppage. You don't know. Like, I have to see that fight. Because sometimes when they go, you know, I feel like sometimes when a guy lands that first punch, the guy goes down, the ref gets excited and stops it when the guy isn't as hurt as he probably could. So, you know, and maybe that was also 10 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta look at it like, man, there's a lot that goes into it. But, I mean, you're at the heavyweight division. Like, you can put money on everybody and you'll have a safe bet. Like, the Curtis Blaydes, Derek Lewis, you know, Curtis Blaydes was doing good. And all of a sudden, Derek Lewis caught him with a punch that took him out. The same thing as, I mean, again, Derek Lewis and Volkov. Volkov was dominating Derek Lewis in, like, with the last couple of seconds. Just one hit, man, that's all it takes. So, I mean, both of these guys are grapplers. Both these guys are going to come after each other with the wrestling aspect. And then we're just going to see who has the cardio and who has the better transitions.
Dan, Hitman?
Yeah, I love that fight. You know, I don't know a ton about either guy, but I've seen him fight, like, And like you said, heavyweight's always interesting because it's, I mean, every weight class is a sudden death overtime the whole time. That's why I explained like people's fights. That's why I don't bet on fights. Like, it's the only sport with sudden death overtime the entire game. Like, you don't just get to throw a flea flicker and then if you get that pass and score, then the game's over. Or, you know, it's not like a half court shot in basketball. It's like, yeah, if they make it from there, the game's automatically over. That's how fighting is, and especially at heavyweight. So when it's like talented guys and there's so many like good matchups like now that the skill level is improving, that there's interesting ones like this. I'm excited for that fight.
Well, listen, I freaking took your guys' time so much. I can't thank you guys enough. Julian Marquez, how can people follow you?
Just get on J Marquez MMA on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Just hit me up there.
I'm so happy for you, man, because you've been an underdog your whole life, dude. Even on The Contender. All they kept telling was how good that other guy was. He trains with John Jones. He's the greatest fighter ever. He's the next big thing. And you were like, nope. And you just knocked that dude out. And then it seems like before the last fight, you were losing and your corner was like, Trouse was like, if you don't fucking do this, you're going to lose. And then you just came out and did it. Same thing happened with your teammate who won 1 second left. I don't know if that's like your new thing now, to lose the first 2 rounds and then come back with 10 seconds. But
you got to get that 50K. That's what we're fighting for, right?
Fuck yeah. So I'm so happy for you. And Hitman, you, man, to fight a guy like a jiu-jitsu specialist with the most submissions ever in Bellator and beat him on a week notice, man, you're a badass, dude. Seriously. That chick should bench press you tonight. So did you guys celebrate at all? Did you at least handy with spit?
You know, not like, hey, I just went for coffee yesterday morning with her. That was like it. You know, I just got back and I've been right back in the gym. I'm trying to fight next month, so you know what I mean. Like, people don't think I earned a spot to be in the top 5 in that division. We can fight about it, you know what I mean. So I'm ready to get back in there. So we're itching for a couple of fights there. Hopefully these dudes say yes, you know what I mean. I don't think I don't know. We'll see if these dudes are scared of me over there or not. They thought they were going to get a pick 'em easy little win, and now they're I think they're concerned. So we'll see. They want to get it. People want to check it out. It's at Hitman Moret on Instagram. Everything from there just kind of pulls off the Instagram. I don't think around on Twitter, Facebook, or nothing. list on my place.
And Bill, what do you got coming up, Bill Dawes?
We got a show Friday.
Tomorrow night with Jeremy Piven at the Ha Ha Comedy Club, Friday night. And then next week I'll be in Boca Raton, Florida at the Black Box Comedy Club. And then I got a bunch of stuff coming up. I'm doing a nudist colony on May 30th.
What?
Yeah.
Do you need a feature?
You want to come for real?
Yeah. When is guests for that or what's up?
I'm sure it's not the kind of, not going to be the hottest.
Yeah, nudist colonies are usually a bucket of yucks.
Yeah,
it's usually not good.
It's usually like the Bellator heavyweight division, you know.
Weird guys that live in vans and stuff.
Yeah, it's
manatees.
Exactly. Maybe I'll pull up in this guy's Scooby-Doo van. Well, listen, thank you guys so much. Take care. Have a good weekend. You guys are the best.
Better, brother.